It appears that this path is the Sankhya path, Sankhyena Yogina. And fruitive and working without fruitive desires is the Karma Yogina, the Karma Yoga path. So now we're going from there to Shutvan Yebya Upasate. Shutva, by hearing, and Yebya from others, Upasate, begin to worship. So the Vedas are divided usually into three sections. This is a philosophical division. It's not actually like you get one section and the next. But the information in the Vedas is either Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, or Upasanakanda. And karma means obviously work, and more specifically, a ritualistic fire yagya culture of doing many yagyas and following dharma shastra and doing things righteously. But yeah, just some kind of worship, even deity worship, if without bhakti done, is karma kanda. Actually, scratch that. I withdraw that statement. But then you have jnanakanda, which is acquiring spiritual knowledge. And this is where you go to the Upanishads. And they have this. And that's why Upanishads, the word Krishna as a person is mentioned in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad. And it may not be Krishna. In other words, Krishna is not really found in the Vedas. Vishnu is found in the Vedas, but it's not indicated even that Vishnu is the Supreme Godhead in the Vedas, because they are mostly dealing with Karmakanda. And then the Upanishads are mostly dealing with Jnanakanda. So Upasanakanda is there in the mix of it all. And then even then, whether it's dealing with Krishna or the demigods is also questionable. So this is why once Vyasadeva, he compiled all the Vedas. He did not write the Vedas. Vyasadeva was not the author of the Vedas. He compiled them, which means they were spoken and they were there, and he gathered them all, and then Ganesh is technically the author, if you want to put an author to the Vedas. And then from there, once he understood everything in the Vedas, then he did Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra. He wrote a coded commentary on the whole collection of Upanishads and Vedas. And from there, he was still not satisfied. And then Narada Muni, his Guru Maharaj, came and asked him what's the problem, and then got on his case. He said, you know, you spent all this time making all these, you know, books, and you never even explain the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whoops. So then the Bhagavatam is spoken. And this is where we get the essence. So rather than you going and getting all the Vedas, the four Vedas, the Rig, the Sama, the Yaj, and the Atharva Veda, learning all the spells in the Atharva Veda, learning all the hymns to the demigods for rituals in the Rig Veda, and learning the Soma Rasa ritual, and then going to the Upanishads and dealing with all the confusing what is Brahman, what is Atman, and neti neti, not this, not that, and tattvamasi, and all these lovely things, and getting really confused. You can go, oh, and then of course the Vedanta Sutra, which needs a commentary to unlock it. And in English, the translation of Ramanujacharya's commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, the commentary on the first sutra is 100 pages. So it's so sophisticated. It's only for Brahmins and like really smart Brahmins, and even then they're like, whoa. So rather than going through all that, we have Bhagavatam. And even Bhagavatam, we have the Brihad Bhagavatam Rita, which I've not read. But is also, Sanatana Goswami has made this as a companion to, if you couldn't figure out the Bhagavatam already, here's something to help you figure it out. And he even puts his own commentary on his own story. So it's like a book of stories. The Bhagavatam is a book of stories, which is a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, which is a natural compilation of knowledge from the Vedas and the Upanishads. So you see, it's like ghee. When you boil the ghee, all the useless stuff comes out. So it's getting more and more concentrated. And then you have Bhagavatam, and then even then, the acharyas are then explaining it in a more tangible way that we can understand it. And this is what Prabhupada has done for us. This massive book, which is Prabhupada simplifying it. So if that is still too complicated, if Prabhupada hasn't made it easy enough, then Prabhupada has initiated disciples who have also initiated many disciples. And Prabhupada's disciples and grand disciples are initiating devotees. Not just giving formal initiation, but they are instructing. And if they're realized enough, then you can attain that realization from them. And it's very simple. You can... What does it say here? You take instruction from them and you give them service. You inquire submissively. And this is the process. So if study of all the Vedas is too hard, then this is where you go. And if you've got a little bit of inclination to study, then you've got Bhagavad Gita, and then you've got Bhagavatam, and you have all these levels depending on where you need to go. Don't go too far though, because your head will explode. But you have that opportunity. So, you know, you can, if you have that propensity, that God-given or God-forsaken propensity to want to study your brain out, then you have all this spiritual literature. And there is this one quote, don't read too many books. And Prabhupada clarifies, don't read too many material books. And that does include the Karmakanda sections of the Vedas. So skip that. I'm going to read it for some poetry. The Poetry Club. But yeah, we have given the process. And then even if that philosophy is too much... Even if the philosophy from your spiritual master is too much, then we have the Maha Mantra. So simple. No skill involved. Of course, you know, you chant and you chant and you chant and you realize there is some secret difficulty there. After a while, Krishna sweeps away the rug of mercy and then he gives you the new mercy, the hard mercy. And then you're like, oh, okay, that's a little more difficult. Maybe I don't love Krishna as much as I thought I did. So these processes are all there because otherwise the process can be quite difficult. And even Ramanujacharya, he was in some acts of devotion, he condemned the path of bhakti. By bhakti, I mean the path of bhakti in the Sri Sampradaya, which is a lot more ritualistic. He said, even this is too much formality. This is too much. We just simply need to have devotion. So this is the wonderful thing about bhakti, because you talk about karma yoga, jnana yoga, sankhya yoga. All these are dependent on different material factors. But bhakti is not dependent on anything and can be applied to all these different yoga systems. You can follow any of these yoga systems with devotion to Krishna and then they work out. Or you can just have devotion to Krishna with no process. It works. Because the devotion is the important principle. And the reason why it's independent is because it is spiritual. A lot of these are material. And material will get you to where? If you study, you will get to the edge of the material creation. And you will linger there and wonder what is above. Because only by hearing, only by revelation, from the acharyas can you actually step into the spiritual world, because they have that knowledge and that can only be given in that process. It doesn't just come. When you don't just get to a point of learning and learning and learning where you learn about Krishna, you actually have to be told by someone who knows. So this is what this verse is indicating. Although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, any person who begins to worship the Supreme Person and hearing about him from others, because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. So I will ask, are there any questions or comments or discussion? How many pages or how many verse? I mean, well, Prabhupada's commentary is in prose, but you mean the Rig Veda or you mean Al Shat? The Rig Vedas, the Vedas have been counted, but there are different versions of the Vedas. This is why, but they're still pretty, like, the oral tradition of the Vedas is very, very strict, because as soon as you write, then when you write something down on paper, then people interpolate. But they have these, like, da-da-da-da. They have, it's a more advanced Sanskrit. They have meters, and they sing, and they teach the students body movements to replicate the meters. So they chant them, and then basically they replicate it. And even the scholars admit that this has been preserved for thousands of years. They say the Vedas have been preserved for thousands of years, most likely as they were, to, or very close to, better than any other scripture. Better than any written scripture or anything else, because they had a process that was really good. I don't know the number, but it's there. But of course, the commentaries and many other verses. I doubt they've counted all them. There's no one that excited about it. But then, of course, yeah. The problem is, everything, almost everything, practically everything, has been interpolated to a certain amount, and how much is not for certain. So the numbers will always differ a little bit. But not so much, hopefully. Which completely defeats that philosophy, that theory I just said. Yeah, there is, someone has said that, yeah, because, I mean, Vyasa, he compiled one Veda, and then he divided it, actually. So, I mean, it was just everyone would speak these things and they knew them. So at one point there was obviously some things lost or simplified. And of course, it is stated that in the heavenly planets, there are many more verses, in the spiritual world more. And Matsyavatara, I was in one of his Bhagavatam classes in 2008 in Mayapur, and he was explaining that the Vedas in the spiritual world, because Sanskrit is such a rich language and has many meanings, they reinterpret all the meanings into their mood of Krishna and the Leelas and all these things. Sanatan, I think Rupa Goswami, or Sanatan, has written one whole literature, which is, if you read it one way, if you read the Sanskrit one way, it's a description of the universe and the planetary systems. And if you read it the other way, it's Krishna and the gopis. Because Lalita is the name of the star, and then Lalita is the name of the gopi. And like this. So, yeah, so there has been a lot lost. And what is left, how good it is or not, it's kind of like, this is why the Bhagavatam itself is considered one of the least interpolated scriptures in classical Indian literature, one of the least, and it has such authentic Sanskrit that there are words in the Bhagavatam that appear nowhere else. And if you want to find the meaning of these words, the only place you get them from is from Vaishnavacharyas, because only Vaishnavacharyas really for so long commentated on the Bhagavatam, so only they know these words. There's no other evidence of them. So this is like, It's a very advanced Sanskrit. You can learn. Apparently, you can do a one-year course in Sanskrit. I don't know if this is still accurate, but many years ago, you could do a one-year course in Sanskrit, and you could read the Bhagavad Gita. The Sanskrit and the Bhagavad Gita is very simple, but the Sanskrit and the Bhagavatam is very complex, and it's very beautiful. So it's been untouched because it's just very respected and it's very intricate and, you know, just Krishna's arrangement. But there are still slightly different versions. So we just go to what we have. Next something. Yes. Yes. Yeah, no, everyone should study to their capacity, and those who have a larger capacity should study more. Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he states that you must know all this knowledge if you want to be an acharya. He said, you will not be an acharya without knowing all these things. He said, you should know Sadarshana and you should know all this. This should all be behind you if you want to be an acharya. But some people don't have that capacity, and that's why in the Varanashram system you have Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. Some people just generally, due to material conditioning, don't have it. That's why it's saying this is beyond material conditioning. You can attain a level of spiritual realization that is beyond your material position, so to speak. Many other sampradayas and different schools in India will only attribute liberation and such things to Brahmins. But we have that difference that, you know, even a mlecha can come from this untrained society, which Prabhupada says they're not very intelligent. Even the philosophical people aren't really intelligent in our society, he said, in this purport. So they can come and then they can do some service. But yeah, generally, especially if you're inclined to study, you should study. And everyone should at least know a few verses or something. Everyone should have read the Bhagavad Gita at one point. If you want to be a serious devotee, just go through it. It's only 800 pages. When I first picked up the Bhagavad Gita, I got to about the third chapter and I was just stopped. I just couldn't. And I read some books from Bhakti Tirthaswami. It was kind of like I got the access to Prabhupada, you know what I mean, from someone else who was initiated by him. But I was just like, I can't do it. But once I finished it and then tried to read it again, it was like, oh, this is easy, you know. Yeah, super subtle, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, I mean, it takes some encouragement. But, yeah, should read. Read it. Is that okay? Okay. Bhagavad Gita ki.